Thank you, guys. Hi, everyone. My name is John Schrondo. I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is December 11th-ish, 2008. My home group is the wonderful Fourth Dimension group from Newport Richey. If you guys are ever up that way by Trinity Presbyterian on a Friday night at 7 p.m., please drop in and see us. This is going to start out telling you guys what it was like, what happened, and what it's like today. For me, you know, what it was like was pretty run-of-the-mill. You know, I don't have any real super exciting stories. You know, your next two speakers, I know Brian's got some story where he wakes up, do I cut the red wire, do I cut the blue wire? Melanie's got some story where she wakes up surrounded by the SWAT team and all these sorts of incredible things going on. I have these stories where I just wake up in stupid, stupid places with weird clothing on, usually of the female variety. I swear to God, I was never going to say that in my fifth step, but it came out. For me, growing up, you know, it was pretty regular. I was pretty average. It was a pretty decent childhood. You know, my childhood was nothing to complain about. Although, if you would have asked me then, I complained about it nonstop, all day long, every day, to anybody who would listen. You know, the worst thing that happened to me was that my parents got divorced as a young child. You know, and that was pretty devastating to me. But it wasn't. You know, my dad was always in my life. My mom was always in my life. You know, I had people in my life that always tried to teach me things and show me the right way to do things. And it didn't stick. It didn't stick at all. I don't know. I don't know why that is. Going through life, you know, I was always the kind of guy, you know, that would just push the envelope a little bit and go as far as I can about to get into trouble. And when I saw that trouble was going to get really, really bad, you know, I'd take a couple steps back and let things cool off a little bit. And then I feel like I'd always go back to doing what I wanted when I wanted to do it. You know, from a very young age, I was selfish and self-centered, but I never recognized it. I didn't start drinking. I didn't start drinking till I joined the military after high school. My very first drink that I had, I was 16 years old. My mom was never a real big drinker. There was one Miller High Life sitting in the fridge one day, and I'd gotten into an argument with my mother, and I was like, I'm going to show you. I'm going to get drunk off this one Miller High Life sitting in the fridge. So I grabbed the thing, I popped the top on it, I took two swigs of it, I spit it out. I could not bear to drink it. I couldn't even get it down. I sat on the couch, and I'd put it in my mouth, and I just spit it back out. It was the most awful, disgusting thing, and I was like, I'm never going to do this. You know, I was taught, you know, that drinking, that drugs, that those types of things were for losers, you know, and that I wasn't to do those things. And I didn't, you know, I was always scared of repercussions. You know, I attempted athletics, you know, when I was in high school. You know, I wasn't fantastic at them, although if you'd have asked me then, I was a King Kong of athletics. But, you know, I had a coach that was a big part of my life, you know what I mean? And he tried to beat these things and instill these things in my mind, like integrity and discipline and all the words I still have a difficult time saying today. I don't know what that is. But after high school, I joined the military, and my first duty station was overseas in Germany. You know, I had to have my mom sign papers so that I could get in, and I was 17 years old when I went. Now I was overseas, and I was away from my family, and I just didn't quite fit. You know, I just didn't quite fit with all these people. I hated my family when I was with them, but when I was away from them, you know what I mean? I just longed to be back there. I just really wanted to be back there. You know, and I had. In the barracks with all these guys, you know what I mean? And I'm just a kid, and there's all these men around that are used to drinking and hanging out, and they know exactly what to do, and they look cool while they're doing it, and I don't, you know what I mean? I'm just this dumb kid in a New York Mets baseball hat trying to fit in, and I so desperately wanted these guys to like me, you know, and to be part of their group, and I couldn't do it, you know, and week after week went by, you know, and I didn't quite fit till somebody said one day, here, try this. And I was like, oh, no, man, I don't drink. I can't handle that, you know, it's disgusting. And I tried to drink beer, you know what I mean? I tried to fit in with these guys. I couldn't do it. Then some guy said, well, maybe like this. And he made me an amaretto sour. And I drank that. And I was like, you know, it's a girly drink. No offense to any girls, you know what I mean? But that's what it was. And that's what I got drunk on my first time. I got really drunk off that stuff, man. And suddenly, you know what I mean? These incredible things started happening to me, you know what I mean? I fit in with these guys. They all wanted to get to know me, you know what I mean? I was more charming, more good-looking. The women wanted to speak to me. I could dance. I could do all these incredible things. I had found what came to be a huge solution in my life, you know what I mean? It took away that feeling of never quite fitting, never quite being a part of. And from then on, from that first drunk on, I still hated beer, you know what I mean? But if that's all that was there, I was willing to force that down, and I worked really hard at it. And I remember sitting alone with my roommate in the room one time, and he was like, "You're not walking out of here till this case of beer is gone." I'm like, "But I hate beer." And he's like, "You're doing it." I'm going, "All right, you know what I mean? Because I want these guys like me, you know what I mean? I want to be a man. I want to be a part of this group. I need these guys to like me, you know what I mean? So I can feel okay." And so I sat down with him, and I remember that first night where we drank a case of beer together. And I was like, "Yeah, man, I did it." And he was like, "Man, come here, kid. You graduated. You just graduated." And I was like, "Hey, finally I was a part of, you know what I mean? Now I'm the kid, you know what I mean? 18 years old over there, you know what I mean? You can go into the shopettes and buy booze and bring it back to the barracks." So I was the one after formation every day going back with a case on every shoulder, walking back to the barracks, you know what I mean? Going, "Hey, the party's in my room, you know? Come on, let's get to it." And very quickly, you know, within a year of my time in the military, they saw fit to send me to a treatment facility. And it was, I always say this, it was like a 6 or an 8 week program. I don't know for sure because I only made it 5 weeks before they kicked me out of there. And that was supposed to be the end of the road for me, you know what I mean? But I got kicked out for failure to emotionally develop, you know what I mean? I don't Today I have a difficult time wrapping my head around that one, but that's what I got kicked out for. And I was supposed to get kicked out of the military, and my captain and my first sergeant had to come and pick me up, you know. And it's a very intimidating and embarrassing thing to have that happen, and I just knew I was in big trouble, you know what I mean? By the time I started drinking, I was in big trouble all the time, you know what I mean? It happened very quickly that I started getting into trouble. And when my commander came and picked me up, he said, "Don't worry about it, Sharondo, you know, I don't want a soldier that cries anyway, come on back." And I was like, "Man, God," you know what I mean? Because, like, deep down inside, I was kind of hoping that I got kicked out of the military, you know, because I got kind of tired of the whole boot shining and waking up at 5:30 in the morning and going away for 30 days at a time. But, you know, I got demoted a few times while I was in there. And, you know, each time, I did that thing, you know what I mean, where I got in trouble, you know what I mean, and then I backed off a little bit. I would get my rank back, you know, and start, you know, progressing, you know, look like I'm doing the right thing. But, you know, slowly but surely, things started getting very, very, very bad in my life, you know. My drinking just was something that I took on doing every morning, you know what I mean? Because I found out that if I had a couple beers in the morning, not only did it make my headache go away, you know what I mean, but I felt pretty good up until lunchtime. And then when I come back to the room during lunchtime, you know what I mean, I could have a couple beers, you know what I mean, and that would hold me over till the end of the day. And that's when the real fun is going to begin. And the real fun did begin. And it was fun at first, you know what I mean? I had good times at first. There's things that happened, you know what I mean, that were okay, you know what I mean? That were some pretty good times with some pretty good people that are still friends, that are still my friends to this day. But it boomeranged on me pretty quickly, like it says. And what happened with me was I came to this spot where I wouldn't admit it, but I needed to drink. I needed to drink in the morning now just to get to work and get through the day. I needed to drink in the afternoon, and I damn sure needed to drink at nighttime. And so, thanks, Joe. So what happened was, you know, I got into a lot of trouble, and my first daughter was born overseas. You know, I got out of the military. I was unemployed for a while. I landed on my feet. I got a great job, you know, and I'm trying to work things out, but, you know, it's not working out. I got this job where I'm making these incredible paychecks for my age, and I probably had no business making that kind of money at that age, because my thoughts at the time were, you know, I'm a man now. I'm the man of this house. I'm providing the income. I deserve to do this. You know what I mean? I've earned this right. This is what I deserve to do. And if you have a problem with it, then you can leave or you can get out of my life. And that's what happened. I was well. I mean, it's funny today, but you know, my first daughter, I made a decision based on self that took her out of my life. And what happened was, when I was given the ultimatum to quit drinking or to spend life with my daughter and her mother, I was in the Yellow Pages or in the classified section looking to see how much an apartment was, because I'm not quitting drinking, you know what I mean? I'm not quitting drinking for anybody. I'm not quitting drinking for my daughters, my mother, my father, anybody. I need this stuff to stay alive. You want me to quit drinking? I'm not quitting drinking. That's like quitting breathing. This is what I need. This is what I need to stay alive. And the going got tough there, and I ran away. You know, when I'm doing a fourth step a little later on down the road, you know, I found out that that's what I am. I'm a runner. I'm a coward by nature. That's what I do. I'm a runner, and I lie, and I steal. That's pretty big thief. You know, so I don't want to stay drunk too long at all. You know what I mean? There's some really, really incredible things happening in my life today. I did the same thing over again. I got another girlfriend. I got another daughter. You know what I mean? I'm living in with another job. Right. I mean, it's the same thing's going over again. You know what I mean? But I can't. I'm the one that can't see it. Everybody else can see what's going on. You know what I mean? But I have no idea what's going on. You know, so I got another girlfriend, another daughter, house, another job, making incredible money, and I can't keep it together. Somehow it doesn't feel right. Somehow it feels like I don't fit. You know what I mean? It just doesn't feel right. And I made another choice. I made another decision based on self that left that little girl behind as well. So now there's two little girls that I left behind because of decisions that I made based on self. And it wasn't my fault, you know what I mean? If you asked me then, it was not my fault. It was her fault. If she would just shut up, you know what I mean? I'd be able, everything would be fine, right? Everything would be fine, but it just didn't work out that way, you know? So things steadily declined very rapidly in my life. You know, I stumbled across some other things that helped me hit a bottom pretty quickly, I think. And what happened to me is 30-something years old, I had ended up living with my mother. She tolerated me for a couple months. And she wasn't going to have it anymore, so she bought me a bus ticket down to Hudson, where my father lives at the time, and to live with my father. And I remember her as she was buying the bus ticket. You know, we were standing in line, and she was just shaking her head, and I could see the heartbreak in her face, because there's nothing any human power can do to help me. And the heartbreak in her face, and she said, "John, we got to do something. We got to do something to get you some kind of help." I'm like, "Ma, you know, they haven't even written a book for the kind of help that I need. You know what I mean? I'm just broken. Like a VCR just breaks. When a VCR breaks, you throw that thing out." And some people up here are going like, "What's a VCR?" You know what I mean? When a VCR breaks, or a DVD player today breaks, you throw that thing out. You know what I mean? You don't spend any money to try and get it fixed. You just get rid of it. And that's what I felt like on the inside. It was like I just needed to be thrown out. You know what I mean? I just needed to be tossed away. And I was so broken. I was so empty. I was so dead inside. You know, and I hated seeing what I had done to my mother. I hated what I had done to my little girls. And I didn't know what to do. You know what I mean? I'm in this hole. I'm in this horrible hole that I've dug for myself. And I don't know how to get out of it. I don't know how to get out of it. I go down to live with my father in Florida, and it just got worse and worse and worse for me. You know what I mean? I'm unemployed. I'm unemployed. I'm unemployable. And I don't know what to do. You know what I mean? I don't know what to do. I met this other girl, and she was employed, which is good, right? She would buy me booze and other things if I asked nicely for it, which I was prone to do. I would ask nice. You know what I mean? I'm willing to put away my pride for that. And she stuck with me. And what happened is she went to work one day, which was often the case, and I sat home thinking up great things that I was going to do with my life. And I saw myself repeating the same thing again and again, and I had repeated the same things again and again in my world. And I just wanted to, I wanted to hang myself. There's a hook in my living room that I was going to hang my belt from, and I was going to jump in this belt, and I was going to hang myself. And I got the belt, I got everything in my hands, I'm ready to go, and I don't have the guts to do it. I don't have the guts to kill myself. Now I'm stuck in this spot where I don't want to stay alive. I don't want to die. You know what I mean? Drinking's not really working for me anymore. You know what I mean? It's just something I'm doing, and I'm not getting any real effects out of it. And I just broke down. I had a complete breakdown. I cried out to the sky, and I just begged. You know what I mean? I begged for help. You know, I just asked, "Please, you know, I don't want $1 million. I don't want two cars in the driveway. I don't want this giant mansion. You know, I just want my two little girls to be able to look up at me and say, 'My dad's a decent human being.' And that's all I want." And I was screaming this stuff out of the top of my lungs. My neighbor must have thought I was a complete lunatic. I'm on the couch. I'm crying. There's tears going all down my face. If you'd asked me right then when it first happened, I never admitted to the crying part. You know what I mean? I'm okay. But that's okay today. And this magical thing happened to me then, right then and there. This magical thing happened, and I knew that those people that had introduced me to AA when I was in that treatment facility, I knew that they were right, and I had to come back to AA. And when I came back, I didn't come back. I went talked to my older sister, who's also in the program, and I said, "Hey, you know, Pat, I'd like to go check out one of those AA meetings, I think, one of these times. You know what I mean? I think I'd like to try and give that another shot again." And she says, "Oh, thank God. I'm so glad. I've been praying about this. You know what I mean? I'm dying. Oh, my gosh. I'm so happy." I was like, "Relax. You know, I just want to go check it out. I don't want to say, I'm not saying I need to be in there or anything. You know what I mean? I just want to go see what this thing is all about. You know what I mean? But deep down inside, I knew that's where I needed to be. You know what I mean? I was dead on the inside. I had this empty black hole that couldn't be filled anymore. So I needed to do something. 5 minutes. All right, let's get sober." So, and what I went to AA, and I felt like the new kid in class. You know what I mean? It was really tough for me to walk into this room, you know what I mean, to see all these people in here, much like you guys are today, smiling, happy, and having a good time. You know what I mean? And I thought, wow, you know, this works. Maybe this works pretty well for you guys, but not for me. You know what I mean? Not me. I've done too much. It's been too difficult. I've hurt too many people. It's not going to be okay in my life. And I had to keep coming back. That's where the keep coming back thing kind of worked for me, because that's where I came to believe that this might actually work for me and turn everything around. You know, I met a man who became my sponsor and took me through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know what I mean? This is where I found my freedom. This is where I found the God personal to me. I had been to numerous different kinds of churches in my life. You know what I mean? I'm not knocking churches or religion. It's not anything I'm knocking, but there was always this God that was distant and out there, you know, that was somebody that was looking down at me and shaking their head going, not again, John, not again. And today, what the steps have did for me was they introduced me to a power greater than myself, my God, that's personal to me, that's inside me, that's not out there anymore. Now there's this power that's in me, that's not me, that works in my life and takes care of all these things for me when I let go. It only works when I let go, and I haven't figured that part out yet. You know what I mean? Because I'll sit and I'll be trying to do something. Wheels will be spinning. You know, I'm digging myself deeper in the mud. And when I finally say, screw it, I'm done, then boom, just like that, it just gets better. And that's how it's been working in my life. You know, I have a relationship with my oldest daughter today. It's hit or miss. You know, she's 14 years old now, and she has a lot of questions that I don't have the right answers for, you know what I mean, that aren't acceptable to her. But, you know, we do talk, and I'm trying to slowly build a relationship with her. My youngest daughter just last month moved to Orlando. So now, for last Christmas was the first time that I had seen her in 3 years. And now she's down in Orlando, and I get to see her every other weekend, and I get to pick that little girl up, and she's super excited to see me, and she loves me. And I don't deserve that. And that's not me. What I do on my own power, is stay locked up, hidden in an apartment complex, not able to accomplish or do anything. I can't keep a job. I can't do anything. I have a job today that I've been at, same company for 2 years, which is pretty good. Pretty good run. That ain't bad, you know, but I can't. And now I'm in this little girl's life, you know what I mean? And there's no I'm sorry that fixes anything, you know what I mean? There's no I'm sorry that fixes what I did to that little girl. But I can be a part of her life today, and I can be a dad. I can be a dad to her today. And what I was sitting down with her, and she wanted to rent a movie. So I was like, all right, I'm going to be a dad. I'm going to show her how to use a credit card and reserve a movie. You know what I mean? She's 10 years old. So I'm giving her my credit card, and I'm showing her how to reserve a movie. And I'm like, all right, when they ask for the CVC number, it's that little 3-digit number on the back, and she's putting it in there. And then a lightning bolt hit me. You know what I mean? I'm like, man, I'm teaching her how to rob me. You know what I mean? In the future. I was like, oh my God. I was like, all right, so how do I phrase this, right? I go, honey, listen, if I ever find out that you took my credit card and you stole it from me and you're using it for things that you're not supposed to use it for, I'm going to be very, very upset. And she looked at me and she got this puzzled look on her face and she goes, Daddy, I don't steal. And it was so honest. I mean, it was so pure, you know what I mean, that my heart just melted. I'd go like, oh my God, what was I thinking, you know what I mean? And then I was like, what, you don't steal? I was like, what are you, the milkman's? You know what I guess? But like, oh, you know what I mean? And now that first period of awkwardness has broke down, you know what I mean? I have this fantastic relationship with my daughter today, with my mother, with my father, with most of my brothers and sisters. My life is so good today, you know what I mean? The only time it's bad is when I make up stories, you know what I mean? Other than that, my life is fantastic today. It's not anything I could have done by myself. I needed you people to do this, and I'm so grateful. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. Thanks for letting me share.